Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about philosophical analysis, where I reach the conclusion that we're not in a post-modern society, but we're in a post-philosophical society. Now, post-philosophical means it's pre-philosophical, obviously, before there's been any philosophers or any articulation before writing and stuff like that. There would have been philosophies, but they're sort of embryonic philosophies. But you can see the birth of different philosophies go through different stages, and if you take them as a meta-analysis of different philosophies, you can pick out at certain things which come out. They're not common at all. It's sort of like diseases in a population. You're doing bubonic plague. Some people will have boils. Some people will have heat and temperatures and stuff like that be off their food. You've got these different things which are symptoms of a philosophy, putting it forward. Now, just to in mode, I've had to, I'm doing lots of podcasts, looking at things, putting things into a podcast engine. So obviously with automation technology, I'm sort of exploring things, solving problems, and then saying, oh, how does this problem fit back into the philosophy of my society, or what is the social hooks? And you look at it very intensely and you say, oh, this can't go because there are no hooks there for these reasons. And you start to realize that the reasons that it's not going forward has really nothing to do with the logic of you going forward. And so you go back and say, hold that analysis, hold, so-and-so slammed the phone of that, so-and-so's not interested in that, so-and-so is turned off by that. Hold the fort. Don't push that too far. Have a check around and look at historic examples and sort of have a look at how people have struggled with philosophies. And by and by, very few people took up a philosophy or an idea at the time it was discovered. In fact, one of the key things for picking up a philosophy, if you look at Christ, for instance, not that I say I'm on the same level of Christ, or Socrates, is that part of the argument process is killing the source, and go through that process where the dominant process has killed off the source, but the message is still relevant. The fact that it's killed off means it's sort of, you've killed the actual people proposing it, means that it needs to get forward. And so that's a damn inconvenient way to knock things off. But in general, killing off of a particular philosophy is something that we take into enormous extent. If you look at the US saying they're going to bomb North Korea into the Stone Age or something like that, or in terms of what were they bombing? They were bombing, it looked as though they were bombing cows in the, rice paddies of Cambodia or something like that. But the pilots would tell you, oh, I'm bombing communists. I'm bombing for communism. I'm bombing for a philosophical idea. So, to an extreme, you can see that, the way that philosophies go into society can be pretty weird, and you can be identified as not supporting a prevailing philosophy simply because you question it, and you question it simply because you have more information or different insights from people. It's not that you want to disagree, and you particularly don't want to be crucified or bombed or anything like that, but that seems to be one of the natures of philosophy, that in order to get something out, you have to invest a lot of money, lose everything, suffer. Yet where the actual philosophy is just a series of thought, there's no necessity to do that. It's almost like a rite of passage to get there. Now, when you're looking at philosophies, there is various things. There's a structure for thinking, and indeed, your structure for thinking and holding thoughts, science is actually stepping into it. That is, with the MRI scanners and things like this, we can actually see thoughts evolve. We can record all thoughts, analyze thoughts, survey people. We can actually know what a shopper wants to buy next by looking at their shopper list and where their demographic, and seeing that from the history of thousands of shoppers who've bought that, their next purchase could be like that. Or say like Netflix, viewers like you have selected this. They tend to promote these things, and in a sense, the if you're looking at philosophies, Google itself, by providing algorithms, is shaping human behavior. Fake news, Facebook, is shaping far more than an army of philosophers from the Enlightenment. They've just paled in significance into what is happening here. However, one of the comments I do want to make is that one of the toolkits of philosophers is a methodology of thinking, analysis, testing. Sometimes they get a piece of philosophy and put it into their own basket. So if they have a philosophy, realize that in philosophy you should use induction, and then have a go at running induction a little bit to see how it goes and prove it. That's one thing they do. Another thing is they do is they promote a utopian vision of how society would be if you follow this. So this is so they can create a hey, you're not doing the utopian thing. If you do the right thing, we'll get all these benefits for us. Sort of like coming to a building site with your building plan of this lovely four-story ugly building, which is all fireproof and all this type of stuff. Sort of like that, the design. And when someone builds a corrugated shack, they say, well, it's not like it. It's a conversation starter. It's an enabler. It gives, empowers people by having their vision of utopia. So you're looking at all this machinery coming up that philosophers have, and looking at the overall idea. So you've got Locke, Descartes, John Stuart Mill, utopia, this idea of a description of what things should be as a counter story, a counter narrative. Now, it's sort of like a forward-thinking legend, sort of like creating a myth rather than a past myth. It's a future myth. And to a certain extent, in religion, you've got a heaven, sort of real estate, conceptual real estate. You say, in heaven, it's like this authority, there's no right or wrong, people don't get happy, they're not hungry, sort of like a utopia type to go forward. So you've got all that forward giving stuff. And to a certain extent, companies come in and they say, or heaven is, what is the, enjoy life, or something like that, for Coke, which is a fizzy carbonated drink, which is cherry, used to have, barbiturates in it, but no more, and you've got all that there, one of the things is that you have to, in it, you propose a philosopher can propose, it's very gentle. If you're a political party or a group, your philosophy, you have to actually use it, and it's got to be 100% effective, so people outside lose out. So if you don't sign up to philosophy, you miss out. Now, this is very interesting, I think, just thinking off the top of my head, when I was researching 8th century popes, as you do, because they're just wacko, super fascinating. There's the various pope that they poisoned, didn't die, so the butler got a hammer and smashed him on the head to kill him properly. And thus, many centuries later, you have the papal hammer, and what we do is we tap them gently on the head to make sure that they're dead, and then we use the hammer to smash their ring. And of course, this smashing the ring is very important because in the 8th century, they dug up a pope, put him on trial, and got him the dead corpse, the cadaver synopsis, to say, bloody hell, shit, I got it all wrong. And so they got his ring that was still in the rotten hand and redid some seals, and then they smashed the seal. So what they do now to avoid this scenario is that they, when the Pope dies, they smash the seal. And so this is all this chaos was there in the eighth century to see what this is going on. And you had to really, it was one of the tenets, the driving forces of the Inquisition, is that you had to subscribe to a philosophy or you'd miss out. And you have to demonstrably see it's all sort of like aggressive negative marketing to go across. Now, looking at it at this point in time, you've got a series of relatively good ideas, say like the app, certain bits of maths, which are correct. Okay, people say, no, don't like it, this is not correct, but the algorithms work out, everything works out, it works, it's scientifically correct, but you're in a position in society which they just say, oh, not true, I don't believe you. It's one of the major things. And so there's this thinking that the cost and time of actually getting a traditional idea ahead is not going to work here, and you can't put it ahead. However, you are told when you go to startup meetings, innovation meetings, that there is the utopia, which is Silicon Valley, where people are very reasonable, everyone's happy, everyone's got lots of money, and when they fail, they don't cry, no one hurts, no one dies, everything's fair, no one's mean, everyone's really trustworthy, and in America, it works well. Shame about the gun violence and a whole lot of other things, the inequality, it just works well, trust me. And so there's all ideas are backed, and the ones that are successful, they do, but if it's unsuccessful, well, you're a better person for trying. Of course, that doesn't exist in Australia, and for a long time, for the rest of the world, when you actually look at philosophy, there's a minuscule 0.001% of the population which read it, it applied to them, or even cared. And a lot of philosophy, if you look at these people, had jobs for life, they're up in positions. So you have, say, Nicolas de Cusa, who had to negotiate with people, and he would do things, and I think Nicolas de Cusa famously loved the death penalty and used to hunt people and kill them off. And this is a philosopher, major philosopher behind science, and he would say, shame I had to kill people, perhaps there's a different way of doing it. So these people are really embedded in the system and can see the problems with it, and they're embedded, supported, and they're sort of systems thinking, thinkers within the system. So the overall reality is that we are in a post-philosophical world where philosophy is on tap, and we are probably beginning to tap ways forward. So There is Kickstarter, crowdsourced funding, a whole series of things which you don't have to actually sell people philosophy. You don't have to be a member of something. You can just put up the idea, express it, and get it forward. And it doesn't have to dominate the market. It doesn't have to be adopted by heaps of people to pay for it. It can be diffused. There's this sort of global post-philosophy viewpoint. And we're going up to... I suppose it's incredible for me in that you're looking at... I suppose 2 years ago, or is it 2 years? Oh, yeah, 2 years ago, it was Blood Oath. This is tough bananas. It's, you know, a really thick thing. Let's pull out their philosophies to help you ease your way into the nothing life or afterlife. What philosophies are there, what's really important, all that type of stuff. And hey, bang, technology comes along, a good social system, fantastic MRI machines, fantastic surgeons, fantastic technology, material science, which is just jaw-dropping. So I've got a little 50-cent coin size valve inside of me made out of this pencil lead, carbon from a pencil lead. And then that's been coated with this chaotic graphite. And all this technology is beyond belief, or it can go across. And of course that scrambles your philosophy, because on one aspect, it's saying as a final, excuse me, would you stop praying for the moment? We need to do some tests on you. That's that aspect. And then other people's philosophy of shit happens, and it's a bit unfortunate this person has to go, but let me introduce my way of doing things, sort of that opportunistic way. Of course, you've got people back from the dead, looking at philosophies at fairly high speed and saying, hang on, we are in a post-philosophical framework where we've got to find a way of, we can find a way of doing multiple things. So I can see many solutions, but I'm not at the stage of embedding it into a philosophy forward, and I'm looking at, people who've got a philosophical entry point, say a politician with an agenda, and they require things in a particular way, and you can sort of turn that away around, that if they can't access this opportunity, you can now start to see a population of opportunities that they can't access, and that rather than looking at the opportunities aren't good enough for this fantastic person, this person isn't really good enough to deal with the opportunities. I'm not saying there's any individually opportunities, but say if the opportunity, they need an opportunity packaged with a ribbon on it and everything connected to it built for them. Well, what if the opportunities emerging in Australia due to the cultures and the existent micro-philosophies mean that you have to actually do a bit of work and stitch these things together in a post-philosophical framework. So I really do think, like the American Silicon Valley way of doing it works in America, doesn't work here. And because it doesn't work here, it just means that there's a lot of idea resources here which aren't exploited. We have to think of a new way of doing it, yet all our systems haven't developed properly for it. So if you're looking at someone and they can say, well, if it was America, we could do it. We can't do it here. It's got to be for these particular things, got to meet these criteria, and help me get elected, basically, to go forward, or a particular company. You go to them and you say, well, look, I'm a company in Australia. My primary role is in the supply, a vertical supply chain, which basically matches a cheap Chinese manufacturing to, I suppose, clients. I call them victim clients, people who are made insecure, sophisticated purchases. So there's a whole lot of problems within the market, structural problems within the market, structural problems which are here, and we can sort of see in certain places where the scale is bigger, things are better are solved, they can go there, but it's almost like you're in your tinny, you want to have a beer, but you open up your book, how do you have a beer in a boat, or will you go up to the, past the dance deck on the main thing and ask a crew member? And so there is a methodology of getting something in a totally different setting. We haven't really thought of the way going ahead. So it's my realization that we have to come up with a different way of doing it. And of course, this podcasting is the start of a different way of doing it. I'm just building the automation and building the way forward. That's the start of a different way of doing it. And bit by bit, I'm going to actually start to build advanced technologies and roll them out. So the next thing I think I'll roll out is the podcast Multiple Choice Questions. Multiple choice questions show put together horribly by computer graph. There's no structural barrier to doing it, and the actual automation engine appears to have, I just moved a few, what was the last couple of things, I've just moved something out of one for loop, just on its own for loop, so it operates all the time, it's no longer slave to a sequence. What else I've, not really fully understood why the satellite upload program doesn't work when the files are overloaded, but it just, when it's directory, it has to search through, it gets to a sort of gigabyte of files and it misses it. Yeah, it puts a new file in it, can't search through it, so all I've done is, when it inspects the internet to see if there's a file up there that's fully loaded, it just moves it out of the contention into a done area. So it just means that the actual file that this satellite program looks at is always nice and small. Seems to be having no problems now. So it seems to have solved itself up. And so, I just have to go on two ones of, just continuing, cognitive rehab at the greatest limit I can, and also just building more and more next generation technology. And I'll also put out clutter cards and put that out for people to use. This is another technology. I'll just keep on rolling things out, and it sort of defies the it can't be done mentality. That is, when I've decided, when I'm higher up in a position of authority and I've decided something can't be done, that's it. I'm now looking away. And what you have to do is just keep on sort of dancing and producing slightly off the line of sight, not trying to cause too much problem, but keep on doing it. So I've done my cardiac walking so far, so thanks a lot. I'll get over and get back home. Thanks a lot. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.